The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It's time to get up with a Dallas debacle. Penalties cost Big D big time. How much trouble are the slumping Cowboys in as we speak? Plus, Josh Allen and the Bills bounce back in a big way. But are they the cream of the crop in the AFC East? And it's Aaron versus Aaron in Green Bay. Will Rodgers' pinky toe cause him problems against the best defensive player in football? And we say good morning to you here on Get Up. I am Ryan Smith in for Greeny. We got so much football to get to this morning. What a day it was yesterday. Sam Macho joining me here in the Seaport. Dan Graziano, Rob Ninkovich are with us as well. And I tell you, they are ready to go, as are we. We get to the game of the night. Raiders, Cowboys, a burner in Dallas. And we start early in the first quarter. Derek Carr right off the bat finding DeSean Jackson. Boom! 56-yard touchdown, Sacho.
Yeah, what an addition he's been to this team. Just added a few weeks ago, he's the speed that this team has needed.
Closing minute of the half. Cowboys coming back, first and goal. Give it to Zeke, pound the rock into the end zone for the touchdown. Yeah. Zeke, 25 yards. Now, Cedric Wilson, fair catch. We move it to the third quarter. Here's a crazy sequence. Watch this. Now, seems innocuous right there, but Roger Teamer of the Raiders, Kelvin Joseph of the Cowboys, getting into it on the sidelines, Sacho.
Yeah, it got a lot less innocuous as the play went on. Special teams can be one of the most disruptive plays in football, and we see it firsthand right here. Everyone wanted to be involved, but obviously some of those guys would get kicked out.
Yeah, you see the ref bloodied right there, a little chin action there. Both players getting ejected from the game. Many more penalties to come. Later in the third, Raiders first and goal. Marcus Mariota putting it in the end zone.
Yeah, Marcus Mariota, Weapon X finding the end zone.
Ensuing kickoff, Daniel Carlson kicks it to the goal line. Tony Pollard picks it up. He turns the corner and he turns it on.
Yes, this is what we call in the NFL elite speed, aka juice. The ref couldn't even keep up. He got the ref following. That's how you know he got the juice. He got the nectar.
100 yards for the kick return TD, fourth quarter, under 4 minutes to go in the game. Dallas down 30-22. Dak dropping back, finding Michael Gallup right there. They were without their top two receivers, but Gallup making the big play.
Yeah, no CD Lamb, no Amari Cooper. Michael Gallup stepped up in a huge moment.
Two plays later, you know who else stepped up? Dalton Schultz on that play, the touchdown. Dallas only down two. Jerry's happy. Dallas going for the two-point conversion, and as they say, deja vu all over again. Yeah. Schultz in the end zone.
Yeah, that was a great pass, great sequence, great series, but the game wasn't over yet.
Tie game at 30, Raiders possession under 3 minutes to play. Carr throws it across field to guess who? DeSean Jackson makes the catch, runs it to the 45, 30-yard gain. Three plays later, Carlson lining up for the 56-yard field goal, and it is good. Raiders up 33-30 in the fourth. So now it's on the Cowboys, looking to get down the field to tie. Third and three, a minute remaining. Prescott to Gallup, big play right there, Sacho.
Are you kidding me? Did you all see this pass away from the defender at a critical moment? Dak Prescott, kudos to you.
Talk about threading the needle at a few more yards, set up the field goal. Greg Zuerlein, 45 yards out. It is up, and it is good. The Cowboys storming back. They send the game to overtime. And after they didn't score in overtime, that Cowboys, I should say, the Raiders, third and long, Carr to Zay Jones. Now this, Sacho, might have been the play of the game.
Well, this was the storyline for the Cowboys all game long. Penalties, penalties, penalties. And that penalty right there cost the Cowboys the game. It was the correct call.
Pass interference, Anthony Brown, his fourth of the game. Carlson lines up for the 34-yarder for the win. But the play blown dead. Raiders call for a false start. Move it back 5 yards. Now the 39-yarder for a win. And wasn't this just the story of the game? Play gets blown dead again. Offsides on the Cowboys. Raiders back to the 30 floor. Carlson doinks it, hits the upright. But guess what? Offsides Dallas. Raiders automatic first down. They still decide to go for it from 29. It is up. and it is good, and that is all she wrote. Raiders with the win. Carr enjoying the turkey leg. After the game, getting chippy right there. Raiders lineman John Simpson, Tristan Hill getting into it. Raiders winners by three. Here's Mike McCarthy after the game.
28 penalties. I don't know what the hell you want me to say. I mean, so right where you want, I'm all for it.
We actually sat down in the game plan before the game and really thought that this crew has huge penalties. And we thought this would be a high penalty game. And so we anticipated that. To their credit, I think they just did a real good job of getting their big plays and a bunch of them were penalties.
If you heard them there, big plays and a bunch of them were penalties. Penalties will kill you, and they certainly killed the Cowboys. The big story today, the Cowboys had 14 accepted penalties against them for a franchise record, 166 yards. The Raiders finished with 7 first downs via penalty, tied for their most in a game over the last 20 seasons. And the 7 first downs allowed via penalty are tied for the Cowboys' most over the last 20 seasons as well. A crazy game as we bring everybody in. Rob Ninkovich, Dan Graziano joining Sacho and me now. And Ninko, I start with you. What was your reaction to all these Cowboys penalties?
It was frustrating. Just watching the game, it was frustrating. And that was after I had dinner and I was tired. So watching it, I was like, okay, this is putting me to sleep. But anyway, you know, the penalty thing, you know, I hear all the coaches and after the game, they're talking about penalties and the most penalties we've seen in a long time, almost saying like, well, we didn't really have defensive pass interference. We didn't really hold anybody. They just were throwing too many flags. But that's not the case. I mean, if you watch the series, the last series, to where the Raiders threw a deep bomb, that was defensive pass interference. You look at just the definition of face guarding and not turning for the football, making contact with the receiver, that's going to get a flag every single time. So what they need to do is they need to go to the local sports shop, whatever it is, down the street, wherever the facility is, go get a bunch of tennis balls. Get those tennis balls, put them in the hands of all the DBs and linebackers, and tape their hands up with tennis balls inside. That'll stop them from holding, I guarantee it.
Wow, good idea. You know, especially for Anthony Brown, who had a rough day. Sacho, what did you think?
I think that the Cowboys made a huge mistake by not properly adjusting to the referees, right? This referee crew, don't blame them. You knew going in that this referee crew calls the most defensive pass interferences, number one. Number two, they call the most holdings. Every Saturday morning before your game on Sunday, you have a referee meeting. You sit as a team, you watch film of this specific crew. And so the Cowboys knew this crew is a very tight crew. They call everything. And many of those calls, nearly all of those calls, were the correct calls. And so for me, this is a story of a lack of discipline, a lack of focus. Things need to be fixed. Nico's example of getting tennis balls, taping them to your hands. I get it. That's what some teams do. But these are fixable issues. If the Cowboys can just dial in defensively on avoiding these holding calls, then you'll be a much better team than you are for having 14 penalties for over 160 yards.
I see your point. But then, Graz, I look at this. They are now the most penalized team. I'm talking about Dallas in terms of penalties and yards in the league. Is this a fixable issue for Dallas?
Well, yeah, it's a fixable issue. But the concern is, why are they happening? Like, if it's pass interference penalties, is that happening because they're getting beat and this is their way to combat it? The concern you heard about Dallas while they were on their run, if people had concerns about them, was can they play good enough defense when they aren't generating takeaways at this very high rate that they were? And they have been susceptible to the big play. And if the concern you're having in Dallas is, well, on the back end, we're a little vulnerable, and the way that they're combating this on an individual basis is to hold and grab, then this isn't the last time we're going to see this affect them and their ability to win the game. So I think it gets to a larger issue of the Cowboys' defense and whether they're, you know, championship caliber in terms of limiting big plays and holding teams down when they can't get the turnovers. They'll get healthier up front in the pass rush with DeMarcus Lawrence coming back soon. But, yeah, on the back end, they need work.
You know, Dan, I'm glad you brought up the defense because, Ninko, I want you to think about this. This was a team we kept giving them so many kudos about, oh, they've turned it around. The defense is looking good. This is a championship caliber team, and that's how I want to cast it, as a championship caliber team, not just a good team or a team that wins the NFC East. Who do you think gets the bulk of the blame for the team's defensive issues?
I think there's a lot of layers to this one. When you look at the defense as a whole, have they been a lot better since last year? Of course they have. Were they better early in the season? Yes, but they've also dealt with a bunch of injuries. You have your first-round draft pick playing pretty much the best I've ever seen an inside linebacker play outside linebacker, and I would assume that moving forward you would keep Micah Parsons as an outside linebacker because he is rushing very, very good. And I watched him closely in this matchup, and I was impressed. I came away impressed. And I know everyone's been impressed by him this year, but the ability for him to be on the edge, I think that they're going to keep him there. I know financially he'd want to stay there as well because the outside linebacker pass rusher is making more money than a cover linebacker. Mm-hmm. So I think they also have to look at health-wise. If they can get healthy, offensively get healthy, get back some of the guys that they're not having, because we've seen Kansas City have a great offense, and they win shootouts, and their defense was subpar, and they got all the way to the Super Bowl. So if their defense can be better in the secondary, get healthy on both sides of the ball, I think they'll be okay. But at this point right now, they're looking like a team that they're searching for identity on both sides of the football.
Yeah, and Sacha, that's a problem for a playoff team, or not just a playoff team, a team that wants to get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but I had a coach who said one time, little things done well make big things happen. That same coach said, so little things done well make big things happen. The same coach also talked about this theory of death by inches, right? You do the little things not very well, all of a sudden those things accumulate and you start losing games. These are little things that the Cowboys need to work on. Don't hold after 5 yards. Don't face guard. Turn around and find the ball. These little things can be fixed. I remember for me, when I was playing 15 minutes a day before practice, not only will it save you 50% on car insurance, but it will also make you a really good football player. For me, I would go out to practice 15 minutes early and work on little things, little drills, right? Hand placement, eyes, footwork. That's all that these Dallas Cowboys defenders need to do. Get out to practice 15 minutes early. Have your defensive coaches focus on these drills during practice. Maybe add a period where you're going to focus on tackling, focus on turning around and finding the ball, focus on not holding. And all of a sudden, you find ways to win these games. Let's not forget, the Cowboys gave over 500 yards on defense, mm-hmm. over 160 yards of penalties, and they still almost won the game.
That's true. That's true. And we do always have to bring that up. So, Ninko, I ask you this. Do you still believe this team can make not just a playoff run, but a deep playoff run?
Do I think they can make a deep playoff run? With the quarterback? Yes, they can with the quarterback that they have, but they're going to have to be a lot better. And the mistakes and discipline, all that stuff, when you talk about playing deep into the playoffs, you'll lose the first game if you're playing like the way they've played the last 3 weeks. So when you get into the playoffs, we all know it's a one-game season, but it's impossible to win matchups when you're having that many yards given up by penalties. When defensively you're giving up big plays because of pass interference, they're not even actually completing the pass. And I think that's even the more frustrating part. You know, as a defensive coach, you want to let them earn everything. You want to go out there and make a deep pass and complete a pass. Don't give them a 25-yard pass interference penalty. That's just easy. So if they want to make a deep playoff run, they're going to have to be a lot better defensively and offensively. And they're one-dimensional offensively right now too.
I'm amazed that you guys are thinking that these things are fixable because you thought, look, it was not only the penalties, it was the sloppy tackling. There was a lot of bad things happening on defense.
Yeah, now, the only thing I would say to that, yeah. We've been there, right? Like, mm-hmm. So, I've been on teams where we've had issues like these, and you think, man, you can't fix it. But forget about me. Think about the Chiefs. Just a few weeks ago, we said, man, the Chiefs, what's going on? Can it be fixed? And now all of a sudden, 4-game winning streak later, all of a sudden now they're giving up 12 points a game, right? These things can be solved within a locker room, very easy.
It's a good point. Things can turn that quickly. Now, speaking of the Cowboys, perhaps no one was happier with the way this game ended than our Stephen A. Smith.
And no one can tell us that.
Yeah, that and a lot more is coming up. Stephen A. is going to join us at 9:30. But coming up, Josh Allen and the Bills, they bounce back in a big way. Is Buffalo now back in the driver's seat in the AFC East? And the concern grows in Green Bay over Aaron Rodgers and his pinky toe. The big question, can he overcome the pain against Aaron Donald and the Rams? We're talking about that next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Get Up is brought to you by Marathon, driven forward. All right, back to the NFL and another big game on Thanksgiving. Saints, Bills, Josh Allen and the Bills looking to get back on track against New Orleans. He's got a lot of injuries. Middle of the first, scoreless game. Second and goal, Allen swinging it to Dawson Knox, breaks the tackle, scores the touchdown. Bills up early, 7-0. Yeah, fired up. Now, 16 seconds to go in the half. Bills up 10-0. And look at that, Allen, picked off by Quan Alexander, Sacho.
Yeah, you see Cameron Jordan getting the ball right there. That's what defenders love. Get your hand on the football, make the play.
Right, less on Allen, more on that play. Third quarter, same score, second and goal. Allen finding Stephon Diggs. Bills up 17-0. All right, later in the third, Bills going for it on 4th and 2. You see the play action. Allen, a little floater to Knox, who takes it to the house. Touchdown.
Yes, and every single Bills fan is excited that Dawson Knox is back and healthy.
And excited about this, too. Bills up 24-6. The pass to Matt Breida. And Breida banging his way into the end zone. Bills, winner. Yep, take a bow. Eat some turkey. You deserve it. Josh Allen, 260 yards, 4 touchdowns. 2 INTs in the 31-6 win over the Saints. Now, the Bills' win moves them back on top of the AFC East and puts their chances to win the division to 73%, according to ESPN FBI. However, they still have 2 games against the Patriots on their schedule, including a Week 13 showdown on Monday Night Football, and that is going to be a good one. We bring our team back in. And, Ninko, I start with you. I want to get your reaction to the Bills blowing out the Saints.
Meh. I mean,
meh.
It wasn't that impressive, honestly. I mean, you look at the Saints offense. Like, what are the weapons there? Who do they have? They had no running backs. You know, they're on their third quarterback. Taysom Hill's injured. He's an emergency guy on the sideline. They run a fake punt on the 50-yard line because they really had no offense. So when I look at this matchup, I'm really more concerned with Josh Allen throwing 7 interceptions in the last 4 matchups that he's been in. He's thrown a lot of picks, so that is an issue for me. You think about playing the Patriots, they're going to capitalize on 2 turnovers. I don't care what you talk about. They're going to go out there, they're going to make you pay for those interceptions. So, you know, the Bills, do they look good in a win? I mean, they look like they should have won that football game. That is a game where the Buffalo Bills should have won. The week before that, now against the Colts, I think they were a little bit exposed in a running game. So when they play the Patriots, that's a team that's going to kind of go after all your weaknesses here. So I think last night was a game they should have won. They won the game, but Josh Allen still threw 2 interceptions, which concerns me.
Yeah, and what's interesting about Josh Allen is he was a lot of people's pick for MVP this year. Seems to be having a really tough go of it. But, guys, I want to put this in the context now of the AFC East because, look, the Bills, it's still a win. They're still looking good to FPI to win the division. But I want to get who you think will win the division. Who wins the AFC East? Graziano, I'll start with you.
I'm going to stick with the Bills, which was my pick all along. Obviously, this could look very silly in a couple weeks if the Patriots beat them twice. This next 3 or 4 week stretch is going to determine the entire division because they do have those two head-to-head matchups. The Patriots have tough games against the Titans and I believe the Colts. So but I think Buffalo, you've seen a team, obviously this is also true of the Patriots, it goes without saying, but I think in Buffalo you've seen a team whose coaching staff has gotten it to the point of playing its best at the most important time. We saw that last year. We see the way they're tinkering right now with the run game involving more Matt Breida. I think they're a team that knows how to solve its problems, and in the end, I think they're the stronger roster.
Ninko, who you got?
Come on now, I'm a stone's throw away from Gillette Stadium. So I'm going with the Patriots, and that's not because I'm a stone's throw away. I'm going with the Patriots because they seem to be trending in the right direction. They're building as they move along in this season. We all know that after Thanksgiving, that's when the real season starts. So the Patriots, they're on a roll. Their defense is number one in the NFL, and their offense is looking good.
Sacho, what do you think?
Yeah, I got Patriots as well because they're trending in the right direction at the right time. People always say they remember what you do in December. December football is what matters. And we've seen what the Patriots have done in November. Imagine what they could do in December. They could take down this team that we're talking about right here in the Bills 2 weeks and two times, and all of a sudden now they're leading the AFC. And so I think the Patriots win the division.
I think the Bills may be the more talented team, but look, they got the coaching, they have the consistency, they're hot right now. I think you got to go with the Patriots. Indeed, that's my pick. We all are against Dan, but Dan's okay sticking with his pick. All right, so Bears, Lions, the third game on Thanksgiving. And this one was interesting because Matt Nagy, well, he's had a couple few days that have been rough for him. Second quarter, Bears down 7-3, driving in Lions territory. Andy Dalton, Jimmy Graham, touchdown.
Yes, Jimmy Graham in the red zone is a weapon.
And look, Jared Goff, third quarter, Lions down 13-7. He's driving. Nice little pass to TJ Hockenson for the touchdown. Lions made this close.
They did, and that's the same route that the Bears got beat on by the Lions last year early in the season.
Lions trying to get off the snide. Fourth quarter now, 2 minutes to go. Bears in field goal range. David Montgomery stopped the line. This is actually a key situation here. Dan Campbell calls a timeout. Remember that. Next play, Lions defense looking out of sorts. You see Campbell calling the timeout. Uh-oh. Penalty.
Yeah, you can't call two timeouts back-to-back. Refs weren't supposed to honor it, but they did. Therefore, a five-yard penalty.
Huge coaching mistake. Third and four, Detroit 11. Andy Dalton's pass caught by Demir Byrd for the first down. Nagy lets the clock wind down. 1 second left. The field goal attempt by Cairo Santos. Good from 28.
Yeah.
Bears win it. Lions lose this one.
Andy and the rest of those guys, I thought they handled it this whole week really well. There's always going to be distractions. It's how you handle them. And we got the win today. What I care about are these players and coaches. That's what I care about. I just can't tell you how much this win means today to me because of what they did.
Big win there. Now coming up, don't let the Cowboys 33 points fool you. The offense wasn't exactly clicking on all cylinders. Actually, far from it. Is there now a formula to stopping Dak, Zeke, and company? And Aaron versus Aaron in Green Bay. Will Rodgers' pinky toe cause him problems against the best defensive player in football? We're picking the game next.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Back with you on Get Up and the game of the night, Raiders Cowboys, and what a game it was. And you look at this. Fourth quarter is where we're going to jump to. Tied at 30. Derek Carr, DeSean Jackson. They were quite a connection all game.
Yeah, they were. From beginning to end, from the first to the fourth quarter, this connection was what got the Raiders points.
30-yard gain there. Daniel Carson, 56-yard field goal, and it is good. Raiders take a 33-30 lead. fired up. Can they win this? Well, ensuing Cowboys possession 45 seconds ago, Dak to Cedric Wilson, who makes the beautiful catch across the 30-yard line, setting up Greg Zuerlein for this. 45 yards out, Sacho.
Yeah, 45-yard field goal in critical time with less than a minute left. Those are critical plays that help teams get victories.
Clutch. We take it to overtime. 33-33. Cowboys didn't score. Raiders third and long. Carr to Zay Jones. And this was perhaps the biggest moment of the game, Sacho.
Yeah, it was. You see the penalties all game long by the Cowboys. And yes, those were correct calls. That's called face guarding. Turn around. Find the ball.
Anthony Brown called for his fourth pass interference of the game. Raiders in field goal position. Daniel Carlson to kick a 34-yarder. Doinks off, but wait. Offsides on Dallas. Story of the game. Next attempt after the penalty, 29 yards. Carlson up and good. And that is game. Raiders outlast Dak and the Cowboys. Carlson gets the turkey leg. Dak not happy.
We'll be okay. In the sense, is I'm sure a bunch of people are jumping off the bandwagon, which is fine with us because we know what we're capable of. We know the team that we have. More importantly, we know the men that are in that locker room. And that's the most important thing, is just our belief in each other. And that's not going anywhere. It's not faded. We lost a tough one in an overtime game today, and that's the bottom line.
They may believe in each other, but I'm not sure we can believe in this run game. The Cowboys' rushing attacks have really struggled lately. After averaging nearly 140 yards per game during their first nine games of the season, Dallas has run for a total of 146 yards in their last two games combined. Not good for a team that prides itself on being a top-notch offense. Let's bring you all back in. And Dan Graziano, I want to start with you because it appeared that Zeke was clearly hurting in this one. What's happening with the Dallas run game at this point?
Well, Zeke Elliott is fighting off a knee injury that he's been able to play through, but he has been managing all year. And remember, he had an ankle injury in the last game on Sunday. So you look at a week where they only had 3 days in between games. I think their hope was to run the ball, but they were unable to do that as much as they like to because Zeke's injury. And look, they're also missing Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb, their top two wide receivers for this game, which allows the Raiders defense to lock in a little bit more on the run. It wasn't set up great for them. But in terms of Zeke and his health, look, they now have a whole week between games. They play next Thursday night. After that, they have that mini bye. They'll have the 10 days between games. I think the hope is that the more rest he gets, the more he's able to play through the knee issue. But this week, there just wasn't that opportunity.
Yeah, so we come back to the issue of health. Guys out, Zeke banged up. So, Ninko, do you think they needed to recommit to the run despite the injuries? And what did you see in that in this game?
Yeah, and look, when you don't run the football, you lose the time of possession. Time of possession, there we go. When you don't run the football, you lose the time of possession battle. When you lose that battle, your defense is on the field. I think they had 77 snaps on defense. That's a lot of snaps. So if they want to get back to where they were early in this season, which was the number one team on the ground rushing the football, when they were on that six-game winning streak, they were running the football better than anybody. They had two running backs that were on track for over 1,000 yards. Now that's not the case. So if they want to win, they're going to have more balance. They're going to have to run the football, get back to their old ways, and they'll start winning.
Now, let's not forget, they were going up against a Raider team that had the fourth worst average in terms of yard per games and allowing rushing. So what did you think of this?
Yeah, I don't have any issues. As offensive coordinator for the Cowboys,
no issues at all.
No, because your job is not to run the ball. Your job is to score points. Your job is to be the number one offense. And going into this game, the Cowboys were the number one offense. If your only focus is, hey, we got to run the ball, we got to run the ball, we got to run the ball, defenses know they're going to try and run the ball. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to load the box and stop you from running the ball. And so we talk about the six-game streak when the Cowboys were hitting 200 yards rushing three different times, averaging the biggest average in the NFL. But also remember in week one when they played Tampa Bay, the Cowboys' game plan was not to run the ball because they knew that Tampa Bay had the best run defense in the NFL. So we need to kind of get off this soapbox of, hey, run the ball more and get back on the soapbox of, as an offensive coordinator, your job is to put together the best game plan to win the game. I understand the Cowboys did not win the game, but a lot of that had to do with penalties on the defense.
Yeah, but still, when you see a team like this, I mean, the Vegas Raiders, they give up a lot of rushing yards. Why not take advantage of that? Why not pound more and more?
Well, for sure you'd want to, but sometimes there are other ways you can expose someone's game plan, right? It may be, hey, this team is fourth worst against the rush, so we're going to pound the runner. Maybe it's, hey, I see a defensive back who we have an advantage on, and we're going to take advantage of him. Now, I get it. Amari Cooper was out. CeeDee Lamb was out, so maybe you couldn't take as much advantage as you would have liked. But the point is, it's not just about running the ball, because we saw it with last week. Kansas City knew Dallas was going to run the ball, and they committed to stopping the run.
Graz, jump in real quick.
They scored 33 points. Like, I mean, you should. If you score 33 every game, you're going to win. I think concerns over the Dallas Cowboys offense are a little misplaced right now, because the receivers will be back probably as early as next week, and they'll be more whole. But they got to get that. I think Sacho's right.
Okay, let's move on to Green Bay, shall we? From one quarterback to another, Green Bay, where Aaron Rodgers, well, he was joking that he had COVID toe, and then. After the Wall Street Journal released a story taking that joke as fact, Rodgers took time in yesterday's press conference to clear up exactly his issue with his toe.
Just so I can show you the lesions on my foot here, Rob. So if I have enough room on this camera, let me see if I can. Oh, there's no lesions whatsoever. No, that's actually called disinformation when you perpetuate false information about an individual. I have a fractured toe.
Okay. And by the way, that was from a press conference on Wednesday. You're getting a kick out of that. Dan, I got to come to you because, look, you look at what he said, and I'm never in favor of a grown man showing his foot on television. But beyond that, this could be a serious thing. And I think sometimes people don't understand how something like a toe could impact a player like Aaron Rodgers. How are the Packers managing this injury?
Well, he's not practicing much, and they've held him out. But last week they practiced him on a limited basis on Friday. And head coach Matt LaFleur indicated earlier this week that that would be the plan again this week. He's planning to play through it, as he's made clear. The Packers have a bye week next week. So he made reference in that news conference to the potential of doing some things potentially surgically that could get it fixed over the bye. It sounds like he's got options open, and we don't know exactly how they'll treat it. But I think there's some hope that, if nothing else, that extra rest will help him. But it's definitely affecting the way he's moving around, as you would expect it to. He's pretty much, it's possible he's just going to have to manage the pain throughout the rest of the season.
Okay, and speaking of managing the pain, Ninko, I want you to share this with us, because when we talked in the morning meeting, you mentioned something that he can do to try to protect that toe in this game.
Well, unlike Jeff Saturday, I'm not going to show my model foot on television, but I would say that I have dealt with a toe issue. I've had a big toe, turf toe, all that stuff, broken sesamoid bone, which is very, very, very painful. And the way that you help protect that is they literally have metal plates that they put in your shoe. So you have your orthotic, then you put in a metal plate underneath the orthotic, to where your foot basically just doesn't bend, your toe doesn't bend, because that's the issue. When you bend your toes back, it's very painful. But then there's also something on game day that you might, you know, have a doctor look at it and they give you something and you don't feel the toe. So I think on game days, Aaron Rodgers probably doesn't feel his baby toe.
Oh, I'm just trying to figure out how you even try to run around like Rodgers needs to with a steel plate in your shoe if that's what they end up deciding to do. Go ahead.
It's very thin.
Okay.
Plate. It's not like, still, you know, 12. It's not a big gauge. It's very thin.
Okay. Still, I'm just trying to picture it. Can't be fun. One more thing, Sacho. X factor in this game. Big matchup between Rams and Packers.
Yeah, well, obviously, first is Aaron Rodgers and his foot. How is it going to play? I think he'll be fine. But I think the bigger story in this game is, how will Odell Beckham Jr. adjust now being with the Rams? He signed 3 days before he showed up and played last week. It wasn't a good fit. We saw that. They didn't look like they were together. And now you had a bye week. You had time. I wonder what Matthew Stafford and the Odell Beckham Jr. connection will look like. Obviously, Robert Woods is down, so Odell has an area he can fit in within that offense. We know that Cooper Kupp already has a great relationship with Matthew Stafford. So I think the X factor in this game is, what will this offense look like? Has this offense gotten to the point where we will see the full extent of the ceiling of what this OBJ, Matthew Stafford, Cooper Kupp offense can look like?
That could be exciting. It could make for a really great game. All right, we'll talk more about this one as we go. But first, tonight on ESPN, we're going to have the Continental Tire Challenge. Number 5, Duke, take it on number 1, Gonzaga. tip-off, 10:30 Eastern on ESPN and the app, one tap. Well, coming up, do the Browns need to bench Baker if they have any chance of beating the Ravens on Sunday night? We'll answer that question. Plus, is this year Jim Harbaugh finally beats the Buckeyes? Could it happen? What Michigan must do to beat Ohio State? That is coming up next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back with you on Get Up. A lot of sneaky big games in the league this year. We'll go through who wins and why. Acho, I start with you. Buccaneers, Colts. Who wins and why?
Yeah, the Colts are going to win this game, I believe. And I believe because they have a plus 15 turnover differential, number one, leads the NFL by six. Number two, they've won five out of the last six. They're streaky. And yes, I know Jonathan Taylor is a great running back. But even more than that, I think that this Indianapolis Colts team is going to attack a weak and banged up Tampa Bay secondary. That's why I think the Colts surprise beat the Bucs.
Wow, betting against Tom. All right, Ninko, Steelers, Bengals, who wins and why?
Man, come on. I got to go with my Bengals and Joe Burrow. That guy's just too cool. So I'm going Joe Burrow. You look at their offense and the things that he's able to do. I know that they've had a couple weeks where we've been like, what's going on here with the Bengals? But I think just in this matchup alone, you look at Joe in their running game, and I really think that Cincinnati can make some noise.
Dan Graziano, Browns, Ravens. Who wins and why?
I'm taking the Browns. I'm not very comfortable picking against the Ravens, but the Browns are having this weird year where you never know which team is going to show up on a given week. I think with everything that's going on there, I think it's the good one this week. It sounds like they might get Kareem Hunt back, getting healthier on the offensive line. And, you know, Baker Mayfield's been banged around a little bit lately publicly, and I think that's the kind of thing that drives him. I think Cleveland has a big game against that Baltimore defense.
Wow, the Browns. I am impressed. All right. So let's get into this
well,
then.
We'll see if it happens.
Speaking of – no, I think everybody else is probably going to lean towards the Ravens, but I got to say this. We think about the Browns, and Baker obviously banged up, having a tough time. Case Keenum is healthy. So, Ninko, I ask you this. Is the wrong quarterback, if we assume Baker Mayfield is starting, is the wrong quarterback starting on Sunday for Cleveland?
I don't think it does. It doesn't matter who's starting for him. It could be Baker or Keenum. It doesn't matter. They're going to be beat by the Ravens. But I would say this. Baker having the issues with injuries and trying to manage out there, sometimes you have to protect the player from the player. And if Keenum can go out there and be the healthy alternative to hand the football off and to make accurate throws, well, then you go with Keenum. If Baker is going to continue to be beat up and dragging around out there and being inaccurate and throwing interceptions and not managing the football game correctly, then you got to go with Keenum. So at this point right now, I would think that Keenum could be a better option just based on health. We know that Baker's beat up. We know that he's dealing with a shoulder. We know he's dealing with a knee. He's limping around the locker room. And it's his field, it's the play on the field that's causing all of the bad reviews on Baker, let's be honest.
Sasha, what do you think?
Ninko, you said one thing that stood out to me. You said to hand the ball off, right? If Case Keenum can hand the ball. Like, this is a run-first football team. The way that the Cleveland Browns are built is to run the ball. They're the number one team in rushing yards per attempt and rush yards. That's what they want to do is run the ball and play defense. And so, for me, I think that Baker needs to be the starting quarterback because this team doesn't revolve on getting Case Keenum going in there will not significantly help you beat the Ravens, right? If you're going to beat the Ravens, it's going to be because you outrushed them and you played some dominant defense, right? That's the formula. And so that's really the reason why I think that Baker needs to be the guy for this football team.
Okay. Shall we do some picks? Do we have time for some picks, producers? Let's jump right into it. Okay, let's go. I'm sorry, I can't really hear them right now, but let's go for some picks, shall we? Graz, I'll start with you. Who you got?
Yeah, I'm taking Cleveland. I don't, like I said, I don't feel super comfortable picking against the Ravens, but I just have a feeling that Cleveland, remember, Cleveland's got this game, then a bye, then another Ravens game. So the Ravens are their entire world right now. They win one or two of these games, they're in pretty good shape.
All right, Acho?
Yeah, I hope I'm wrong, but I'm going Ravens on this one. I want to be like Graz right here. I want the Browns to win, but I think the Ravens will.
Ninko.
Ravens all day. Come on now.
Wait, what is he doing? His best Tom Cruise move?
What is he doing?
I don't know what that means, Ninko.
I don't know what that means either.
Did Lamar wear sunglasses? Lamar...
Oh, okay.
Lamar had sunglasses on him.
You don't look
it
like
took
Lamar.
Us a minute. It
you
took
don't look
us a
like
minute.
Lamar Jackson, bro.
And just for that.
If you have to explain the joke.
And just for that. Okay, all so right, I'll go with the Ravens as well. I would not bet against Lamar in this game, especially with a banged up Baker, even though I think you're right. The run game is what dictates this team's wins or losses. Now, Our DraftKings poll question of the day, we had this one, speaking of that game. Will Lamar Jackson throw for 250 or more passing yards? Yes or no? Now, DraftKings is the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL, and this Sunday only, new players can play free for over $1 million in total prizes. When you make that first deposit, download the DraftKings app and sign up with the code GETUP. Oh, to college football, and what a weekend it will be. Rivalry week, Alabama on the road in Auburn for this year's Iron Bowl. It's the 27th time that a ranked Bama team will play an unranked Auburn team, and that should be a good one. In Bedlam, if Oklahoma beats Oklahoma State, those two teams will play against next week for the Big 12 championship. The Cowboys already clinched their spot. And in Ann Arbor, Michigan and Ohio State meet in the game, with both teams ranked in the top 10 of the AP poll for the 24th time, six more than any other matchup all time. Oh, look at this. Not only will we see the return of one of the greatest rivalries in college sports on Saturday, but the stakes could not be higher. The winner will have a greater than 70% chance to reach the college football playoff, while the loser's chances will be under 10%. So, Sacho back with me because, oh, what a weekend this is going to be. Ohio State, 8-point favorite in Ann Arbor. How does Michigan pull off the upset?
Well, you're going against the number one offense in college football, and there's only one way to beat the number one offense. It's by creating extra possessions. So here's what you got to do. Let's check out the tape. Number one, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to find a way to talk about it, create possessions. You're going to see a corner blitz by Michigan. You practice this all the time. You go to the block point, and you block the punt. There's two on one, eyes open, hands low, take the ball off of the foot. That's one way to create a possession if you're going to go against the number one offense against Ohio State. A second way to create a possession, get pressure on the quarterback. You're not, it's like, I'm only going to show two right here. You see two guys getting after the quarterback. You're not going to see a sack here. We're going to see something even better than a sack, which is crazy coming from an outside linebacker who loves sacks. You're going to see a pick six right here. DJ Turner, he stays in bounds. Ooh. You're going to see Tunga Bailoa doesn't want any part of this. I wouldn't either if I was a quarterback. And you're going to see DJ Turner find the end zone. So you do it on defense and on special teams. Create possessions and get into the end zone. That's the only way you can get extra points against an offense that has a Heisman favorite in C.J. Stroud.
Oh, should be a great game. Now let's go to the Iron Bowl, shall we? Because, you know, it's a tough one for Alabama, Auburn. It's always a tough matchup between the two of them. Let me ask you this, actually. Is this a must-win for Alabama against Auburn?
It is. It is a must-win.
Really?
It is a must-win. Alabama already has one loss. That's number one.
Okay.
Number two, and let's say this. I think Alabama will beat Auburn, right? Bo Nix is out. That's number two. But if you lose this game, now you're a two-loss Alabama team. Even if you go to the SEC championship and let's say you beat Georgia, I think at that point, after this loss, you're three right now. You might lose. You might go to 10. If you beat the number one team, I don't see you jumping up to the top four. You might be five. You might be six. And so I think Alabama needs to win this game And then even if they play close against Georgia in this SEC championship, they would still find a way maybe to be able to get into the playoffs as a two-loss team, the first two-loss team in the playoffs.
Wow, it sounds like they even need to kind of win big in this one. So let's go to Bedlam. Who wins, Oklahoma or Oklahoma State?
Man, I like Oklahoma State in this one because of their defense. This is the top five defense in all of college football. Jim Knowles, Oklahoma State defensive coordinator, has this team playing lights out. That's number one. And number two, Oklahoma, we haven't known what they've been. They've been kind of one quarter amazing, two quarters, three quarters. Then they look bad the other part of the games. And so I think Oklahoma State wins, which will get them in that conversation for the playoff. You win here, then you back up and beat Baylor, a top 10 team. Now all of a sudden you might be in the playoff. A
lot of stakes coming up in college football. What a weekend it will be. Now, coming up, we take it back to the NFL. The Cowboys, with mistake after mistake against the Raiders, our analysts are going to tell you how much trouble Dallas is actually in. Now, let's take a look at the college football playoff. One final team vote brought to you by Dr. Pepper. Cincinnati is the winner. Look at that, huh? Cincinnati, the winner, with 63% of the vote. They got 63. Michigan's got 17. Notre Dame and Oklahoma State, both with 10. Those are your picks. We'll be right back on Get Up.